Hello and welcome to GFW Radio. It is May 7th, 2008, Woo-hoo. And I'm here with the full crew. We're back reunited, and it feels so good. And we even have Max Cho with us today.
Joining. And we have a very special guest who we'll introduce in a moment, who took time out of his busy schedule to come talk to us. And I think you'll all be excited about that. But first, why don't you guys go around the table and introduce yourselves.
Ryan Scott.
Robert Ashley.
Sean Elliott.
Sean Malloy.
Hi, gentlemen.
Hello.
And sitting in the coveted sixth chair today is...
Coveted.
Thanks. I'm glad you caught that. the corpulent sixth chair is Joe Kukin. You might know him more commonly as Kane from the Command & Conquer series. And so he's sitting here right now. And so why don't you say hi to the folks out there, Kane?
Kane! You can't kill the Messiah.
Oh, that was good.
Okay.
That was one of my favorite lines
thanks, Kane.
In the game, Joe.
Yeah, he's not really here. In fact... Robert Ashley is holding his body that has a spring where a head should be.
I'm drawing on the head.
And Sean Elliott's drawing on the head.
I'm giving him psoriasis.
Is that what that is? I thought he had like an oil slick fall on.
Slick 50.
We decided that before we came down here that this head, actually Sean Elliott made the observation, I'll give him the credit, that this is probably the bobblehead from some like baseball player. That, you know, they had a couple thousand extras at the factory in China and just decided to turn this one into Kane. Because the head, I mean, this guy could be anybody.
Right.
He looks
thought you meant the body. I was like, what baseball player wears a cape like this?
He's your typical
or a trench coat.
Shortstop. Maybe center fielder. I don't know.
Yeah, so we don't really have a special guest. We're sorry if you feel bad now we deceived you. Actually, we don't feel bad.
I feel bad.
I don't feel bad at all. So here we are. We're all back. We didn't podcast last week. Now we're all here. Max Jill's here. How you been there, Mr. Ashley?
Dandy.
Dandy?
I've been dandy. I don't know. Been all right.
Are you playing?
Better than you guys.
What do you mean? What does that mean?
I don't know.
We're doing good. That's rather presumptive of you to think we're doing badly.
No. You guys are great.
Although the band sort of has broken up.
Kind of.
Because we thought we were going to, like, you know, continue GFW in the online form. I guess you guys still
are. Well, we are.
But Ryan and I are now sort of not part of that.
Well, I wouldn't go that far. We don't want to...
Well, we sort of have more than just that on our plates, but we do still have
true.
The GFW stuff.
You'll always be part of GFW Online, Sean.
Right.
This is always your home.
Your responsibilities have expanded beyond...
Right. That to clarify, in the ever-evolving reorganization of 1UP.com, Mr. Sean Elliott's now the features editor across the board, and Ryan Scott is the reviews editor, so they have both PC and console things under their wing as well. But you're still part of GFW Radio.
Right.
And really, it was kind of a nice vote of confidence for our team here, for you guys to get that extra responsibility, I thought.
Yes, indeed.
You're here.
They really love you, Sean.
They love
it's
you.
True. You are loved.
I don't
it's
love
for your
you.
Ability to draw on Joe Kukan's head like that.
Yeah, you're going to run out of space. He's using a Sharpie to draw on this guy's face, and it's turning into basically just a molten black.
Dude, he could very easily be like a species on Star Trek, on one of the various.
I don't think we're getting into the spirit of how this tchotchke was intended. We're probably supposed to like be excited that we got the Kane doll,
no,
and therefore be pimping the next Command & Conquer here.
We're supposed to put it on eBay.
Are we?
Well, we did. We name-checked it. But people always put this kind of, you know, bric-a-brac on eBay. You'll see it. I mean, as our gauge last year, after last year's ridiculous, the tchotchke at the micro, ridiculous.
Oh,
in
yeah.
That, like, it was fine. It was there, but ridiculous that someone would think that there's any value to it.
What,
but
those,
the ass pads.
The ass pads we sat on.
Oh, yeah.
That was crazy.
What? Picking up stacks of them and hauling
God.
Them off.
God. Last year at E3, Microsoft held their big, you know, their big press conference thing at this outdoor... It was like a high school stadium or something.
It was high school's.
And it had, cement stands. And so Microsoft had put out on the ground for everybody little, you know, ass pads, basically, and it had, like, Microsoft's logo on it or something. I don't know.
The Xbox 360 logo.
360 logo? Okay.
Maybe.
So we're sitting on these things, you know, and...
Presumably many people in the audience tearing ass on them for the hour and a half.
Probably Sean, for sure. Right. I'm sure. And then when the thing ended, you know, you could see dudes, like, running through the place, like, grabbing as many as they could to take with them.
So, yeah, they were leaving the stadium with, like, five under each arm. And so, of course, when we got back from, you know, the convention, I looked on eBay, and of course, there they were.
Uh-huh.
Oh, God.
How much were they going for?
I don't remember.
Will Wright cut the cheese on this one. Yeah. Now it can be yours.
If there was anything higher than zero bids on any of those, then
it's kind of weird.
I hate humanity.
Yeah. I've been to previous E3s, and it seems to me like most attendees have an ass pad built in.
They don't need their own. Yeah. It is weird when you go to E3
nice
and
to
you see the people, like, you know, screaming and yelling for, you know, I want you all to scream. You walk by a booth, you know, and say, I'm full of shit on the count of three, and some lucky person's going to get a free T-shirt that says, I'm full of shit. And there's like 100 guys going, and then you think, like, man, people suck. And then you realize this is like an industry event.
Right.
And then it's like twice as bad.
But yeah, it never really was an industry event.
I guess not, but...
That was an illusion, Jeff.
Was it? Yeah.
There were other things, too, like where you can get a tattoo. I think it was Capcom was doing it one year, or some other company. Mm-hmm. You don't get anything. You get the tattoo free.
Yeah.
So people were getting, like, the brand stamped on them. I thought that was
real tattoo. Like a real tattoo?
Like a real tattoo, yeah. Not like some
what?
Circus painting.
Like a Mega Man X
face painting shit.
10 or
no, what? It just would say the company's name.
Oh, but it wasn't like a real tattoo.
It was a real tattoo.
It was a real tattoo.
Shut up.
It would be like getting a tattoo that said Walmart on your fucking arm, on your bicep.
Well, it was
Robert does not want to believe it. He's in denial.
I just have a hard time believing.
Like, well, we could use this to go into like more specific game stuff, but there's that mentality where people think they're getting something for free and they can't help but do it. You know, we're talking about like why... Your Age of Conan, we'll just go into this. The beta's out now. A lot of people I know are playing it. Some of you guys are. Mm-hmm. And at times, like, is it good? And everyone in the server who's playing it's like, well, it's an MMO. You know the answer. It's not good. Like, well, why are you playing it? And it's like part of it is
free.
And then also it will tie into to Ryan is going to, you know, we can talk about the changes to Team Fortress 2 later.
Oh,
and,
boy.
You know, farming points to get the new medic stuff. And, like, why? There's just this thing. I don't know. A lot of people, they can't turn something down for free. Same way, like, I heard that my grandma, you know, like, wasn't quite free, but it was since it was for sale, just random shit like socks and crap that she'd find at Walmart and Dollar General, and she just couldn't help but get it because it was a value, and to the point where her whole bedroom was covered in it, and she was sleeping on the couch, and then, like, my mom and her sister found out, and they were like, oh, God, and they had to intervene.
But so she was hoarding cheap stuff.
Yeah, just like that she had no use for. That didn't even make sense. Like men's socks and stuff, you know, like
some people are
it's
just kinda
hoarders. Like Ryan and you guys in the games you play. And the
I mean
pads.
That's definitely one of those like game mechanics. Like I remember looking at Borderlands for that Games for Windows cover story a few months back and realizing that game is like a shooter plus like a men's ultimate shopping trip. Like,
right.
That's what it's all about. It's like, you kill people so that you can browse their guns and pick up guns, you know? It's like, I mean, that's really the motivation, you know? You're like, oh, I killed someone. What do they got?
Uh-huh.
Oh, yep. What a great deal.
And of course, pin-ups on the wall while you're
Diablo.
Shopping.
Diablo. Yeah. Yeah.
Look at that Hooters on that one. I'll take a double barrel shotgun.
I heard some of the early loot drops in the Age of Conan MMO were like tattered loincloths.
Yeah.
Really?
Like, all the early ones are like, you know, tattered this, tattered that. And
well, that's like any
rags.
MMO, right?
Like the tattered loincloth is pretty bad.
That's pretty bad. Hey, when you're...
It's like
when
you tore ass so hard, you tattered...
It beats nothing.
It does beat nothing. And wasn't that an option? Or you sent out a thread about that, right, Sean? About the nudity...
Nudity
protest?
There's a petition online, yeah, to remove or to offer some version of the game where there's no nudity at all. As well as language stuff.
Yeah, they must have a toggle already.
I don't
know
if there is. Why would this petition exist?
Yeah, that's weird. It might just not be in the beta. The menu for the interface has changed like I think twice since I started playing it.
So, what's the extent of it? I heard how to show you how like sensitive to gender and sex issues the game is. The first woman you come across in the game is like tied to a stake or something.
She is tied to not a stake, but like a wooden beam, and she is also a prostitute.
Awesome! Wow, that's like.
And later there is a quest where you have to talk to her again to get her filthy blood, so she can you can swap it with pure virgin's blood and like ruin this.
Wait, you get her filthy blood?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's literally
we
the
need
quest.
Your whore blood.
It's like we need your whore blood to sabotage this ritual.
Wow, that's like oh that Spinal Tap scene. The,
and she's just like,
I will the blood of a whore.
To you sure? Why not?
It's a cane drink. So
there's nothing wrong with being sexy.
But yeah, that's the first person. Second person you meet, actually. First person is some guy who meets you on. You wash up on the beach, and then he's like, hey, you got a destiny, son.
Yeah, you know, if we talk too much about, you know, the plight of females in games, we're going to get called soft. Because that's what happened to me when I bitched about GTA in the 1UP show.
Who called you soft?
Yeah.
Some guy on the phone.
Someone you care about?
No. He said the guy who looks like Nick Fury. Is soft. I'm assuming
Nick
he meant
Fury?
Me. Yeah, but he spelled it furry, which made me happy.
That's totally Jeff.
But there were a few comments on the board. We don't have to. We can transition into this later, or not at all.
Hey, just
but this
it.
Idea that games like that, like I guess Age of Conan or GTA, would be another one where, like, come on, you know, these games are meant for dudes, and you know. Why should it have to appeal to women? Why should GTA 4, why should Age of Conan not have, you know, barbarian chicks with big hooters and, you know...
I don't even think... Is it about appealing to women or about appealing to me? Because...
Well, yeah.
I'm not a fucking, like, 14-year-old, you know, sexually pin-up...
In fact, that's totally
the
answer.
We want a woman with more to get off her chest than a wet t-shirt. And, like, the chick with the on the fucking pole with dirty horse blood... I'm not too into that, man.
Right. And also, like, with GTA 4, it's like the more you look, too, the more you see, like, wow, how old are you guys? I mean, I love this game a lot. I'm really enjoying it. But, like, there were things that I kept doing that I didn't even I wasn't even getting the joke at first. Like, the internet cafe. The name. Did you notice that?
Oh, yeah. Twat.
Twat.
Yeah.
Because it's TW and the at sign. And I was just like, what's Twat? Technical and then when I finally got it, I was like, oh, geez.
Yeah, it is disappointing sometimes when they've gone to like such great
lengths. CNT is the name of the radio
station.
Yeah.
They go to like such great lengths to skewer American culture. And the best thing they can come up with to make fun of like the whole like internet thing is using the at symbol to spell Twat.
That's what I'm saying. Like, there's points in the game where the humor is really sharp and funny.
Yeah.
And some of the cutscenes are outstanding, and the character of Brucey is hilarious.
Yeah, he's hilarious.
Brucey's
like,
killer.
The characterization can often be funny, and then, of course, like, the talk radio stations are
great.
Tend to be great. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
and the thing about Brucey, too, is you can tell how smart these guys are. I mean, they're taking a guy who is completely doesn't get it about his own sexuality, right? So, there's he just doesn't see it, you know. He doesn't see what the rest of us see, and so you know, there's some writers on that staff who have some interesting, you know, who have thought through gender issues, and then they go ahead and make Twat, and you're like, wow, way to go for the low hanging fruit, you know.
Maybe it's the guys who are making the signs and stuff.
Yeah, I was about to say it's such a collaborative effort. Like, not everyone. The people who are writing Brucey are probably not writing the signs.
Yeah,
I mean, maybe they are, but.
Doubtful.
And it's not to be prudish. It's not to say. I mean, listen. We here on the podcast. How much in the past 20 minutes we've been here have we made fart jokes? I mean, it's not like we're above this stuff. It's just.
It's just that no one's paying us to put it into a game that everyone is buying, like 10 copies
I guess it's more. It's easier to name the thing than to have like they could have had. The equivalent of like Demonious X in that first cyber cafe when you walk in there, you know, instead there's just like one normal person there, but they could have had a lot of fun with what was in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And that could just be like a, you know,
spend all
time versus, you know, production budget.
Place.
Yeah.
You just want to see him aim a little bit higher, given how smart they clearly are and how funny they really are at a lot of points in the game. To just not go for the eighth grade jokes. Leave that to us.
We can handle
GFW.
That.
GFW.
Yeah, that stuff didn't.
Yeah.
Sound.
Amen.
Yeah.
All right, have we figured out yet if he's saying Cain laughs or Cain lives?
I don't. It sounds like he's saying Cain lofts. I think he's.
Yeah, do it again.
I think
do
he's advertising
real estate. Do it into the mic.
I think he's trying to sell some really overpriced condos in this dead market. Here he goes.
It says laughs.
It's lofts. You can't kill the Messiah.
I think Cain lives true. Then makes sense.
He just
you
can't kill him. He just
I think he says Cain laughs, but you're right. Lives like makes more sense.
Yeah.
All right. Let's.
But then why is he laughing? And then he didn't even.
And
laugh.
He's not even
he just
laughing.
Says
he's just
laughing.
Saying, well, that's how badass he is. He just has
yeah,
to say.
Yeah. That's how he laughs. I laugh.
It's like people.
Cain is amused.
It's like. I know people who don't laugh. They just say lol.
That's that. Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Lol.
That means good. You're not really
I'm just
going
to do that to you guys.
I did want to announce, like, I always have, like, pet peeves for, like, played out language that comes from the YTMND played out memes supermarket. And, like, the whole epic fail, confirmed, for the win, all that stuff. I mean, I've kind of, like, just cringed when I've heard and seen that for the past, I don't know however long, but it's official now because if you go to the EVGA site, that the banner ad, they've got this new video card and it's the something something FTW and it just keeps flashing up about, you know, graphics for the win and this and that for the win and confirmed. And it's like, I mean, that shit's, that's,
we're going to start singing to McDonald's.
It's
your
up there with lolcats
is a corporate tag.
Yeah, the kids are saying it. Yeah. They'll think we're hip if we say it.
Right, and that's just part of being a kid too. You got to go. I mean, it's time to move on. You know, being you make something else for EVGA to use as their next advertisement.
Yeah, I get that at home with my own kid. I'm the buffer. She's the buffer for me.
Yeah,
I'm of stuff I'm not allowed to say.
What is she declared off limits?
I'm trying to think now. Definitely FTW. You know, the kids knew that was played out.
Really? That's awesome.
Oh, totally.
That's
rad
when you're... How old's your daughter?
14.
And she's telling
it's
to
like,
you...
It's like, yeah, Dad, that's like 3 months ago.
Let's not name names, but there are some offenders in this building.
There are.
This is my challenge to you. To retire those expressions.
FTW.
Confirmed,
FTL. Confirmed.
For the win. Epic fail or anything fail. Win fail, it's just, you know, they work together.
We have to start our own memes then.
We do. We try to.
Cain laughs.
And that's the thing. Like when Wajah hits critical mass, then I'll have to retire that. You know, that's just the way of the world. But I think that Wajah is good for...
Wajah has too many syllables and a weird spelling.
Yeah.
It's not sticky. In threads where we're not even referenced at all. It makes me really happy. Like some people, I've seen it just used a couple...
It is spreading.
Yeah.
I don't know. It has a certain stickiness to it, but it's got...
Yeah. It's nice to say, not as nice to use on boards or something.
That's good to use in any case. Schwielen, I would like to see take
like
off too, because that's like so
it's
universal.
Also hard to spell,
it's as universal as like
it is
fuck.
Hard to spell.
Someone can be a Schwieler that Schwieled you.
It sounds vaguely Yiddish.
They might have a Schwiel hole.
Like Smurf.
Yeah, it's like Smurf, dude. Yeah.
A Schwiel hole.
This I don't know what that is.
Low hanging fruit.
Such a Schwiel hole. So let's get back to pick a topic here. Like, are we gonna go back to GTA?
Yeah, let's go back to GTA. I assume pretty much everyone in this room is playing, except Ryan. Are you playing?
I haven't started yet, but I was reading in some magazine that it's like the pinnacle of interactive entertainment.
Really? Is that what it says?
Yeah.
Is that what you're reading there?
That's many magazines, actually.
I'm pretty excited to play
the pinnacle
it.
Of interactive entertainment.
Yeah, right after I finished farming my TF2 achievement.
No, yeah, actually, if I may, this is going to sound like a diversion, but it isn't, I promise. But this guy sent me a letter just today. Don't let me get too off track with this, but you'll understand why I'm reading this. Hello, Jeff. I have a tale to tell you and the GFW crew about. I recently got scammed out of $600. It was a Craigslist deal that went sour, and now I am sad because this occurred the same day you guys announced the magazine was closing down and that I would lose my favorite magazine. Now to my question. I know you guys love to go off topic on the podcast. That's if you guys have a topic. hey, fuck you, buddy.
But he just got scammed.
But have you guys ever felt that as game hype builds up, that when you finally get your hands on it, you no doubt love it, but it becomes something of a frustration? Mm-hmm. You want to like it as much as these people talk about, but it's just not up to the level that you hope you would like it. Returning to the question, Have you ever given a game the status of, quote, putting the pussy on the pedestal, unquote?
What?
What does that mean?
I don't know what that means. You get why I'm bringing up GTA, because he said that. I didn't know what that phrase meant.
Isn't that a Kevin Smith thing?
But then he says...
that's from one of his movies.
Oh, is it?
I think so.
Maybe. I mentioned this because a few months ago I played Bioshock. Now, don't get me wrong, it was amazing, but I was faced with this pedestal effect. Just wanted to get your opinion on this. In case you're wondering, I lost some money on a PS3 and an iPhone. If you want, I'd like to hear something.
Is this ultimately a scam?
Then at the end, he says, thanks, and pardon the grammar. I'm sitting in class and not really proofreading. Which I really loved.
Nice. Wow. Like, yeah. This is how it goes.
I've noticed with, like, I agree.
How do you do that in class?
Almost unique to gaming, whereas with, like, movie criticism or something, you'll have an audience that, for the most part, will be... like receive things better than the critics do, and they're concerned about a disconnect about the elitism mm-hmm. of the critics and but with games, I mean, how weird is that we've got the reverse where the so-called critics are the ones that are just going like apeshit on every
uh-huh.
you know, like, I mean, here's part of this thing that Ryan wanted to read. I mean, this one intro has got every cliche you could think of, but including it says, you know, completely rewrite the rule book that pushes the envelope. It doesn't reinvent the wheel, but you know, and it goes on something, the pinnacle of interactive entertainment and game design. I don't know though, but it's, there's just this weird, I don't know, I don't feel good about that. The fact that it's not like critics are supposed to be snobs or something, but when your audience though is even was pickier than you, and you're the one who's supposed to have all the
right,
you know, the access.
And in the case
and
of this game, every critic was like going out of their way to like top the next one.
But I think
it's not just the greatest game of all time.
It's the greatest game that will ever be.
Yeah. I mean, if there's games in other universes, they're not better than this one.
There's like a lack of subtlety when people do get their hands on a game that is really good. Yeah. It's like no ability to stop at, this is a really interesting game that's really worth 80 hours of your time. You can't just stop there. You got to say, this really changed my life. You know?
Right, yeah.
This gave me an uncontrollable Viagra hard on for 2 days. You have to. I mean, it's just over
right.
the top. Like, no one's able to like take some subtlety. Instead, it becomes like, you know, if they're going to introduce any criticism at all, it's like this kind of like back and forth. Well, it's the greatest thing ever, but it's not perfect. The
right.
frame rates dip
yeah,
here
right.
and there.
I think there are a couple
of shooting mechanic is kind of clunky.
Right. I think it wow. just points to like just this lack of vocabulary for this for what we do. There's just
yeah.
not enough things to latch onto. Like yeah. or to discuss mm-hmm. that you just most people just tend to go straight for the ones they know and are just like, it's life changing.
Yeah, I mean, this game is really, really good. It's really good. I've played I'm on the second island now. I think I've just hit something like 30-something% of the total story, but I've heard now that you can finish it story wise in the like 70 area. So I think I've made decent progress. And I'm liking it more as I keep playing it. So I think it's good. I don't want this. But that's the thing. I should be able to criticize it and
it's
not
just perspective.
Right.
You
know? I mean, and not feel like.
I think also you get in this trap where when you're so eager to say these things about it, and you're also like, and you're trying to like, I mean, even if it's, you know, unconsciously trying to out boner the next guy with the rigidity of your
game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You start, like, you know, one thing I asked Shane about, he used the expression, you know, a living, breathing world. And it's like, you hear that in every context. And it's like in this thing I'm looking at right now, there it is in the captions, there it is else here. And I was like, well, let's think about the limits of that. And I mean, it's really easy to just repeat that,
mm-hmm.
but maybe like we might learn a little bit about our expectations in the game itself if we at least challenge it. Not to say it's wrong, but like let's why are we getting this from it? I mean, where are the limitations of it? But everyone just goes in and has these same points, and it's like, this is this game that lets you do anything you want, and it's all about, you know, player, you know, choice and inventiveness and stuff. And then I'm playing, and half the time I'm like, it's upsetting me because it's deliberately, you know, preventing me
mm-hmm.
from getting any satisfaction from attempting to improvise my own solution. So for, mm-hmm. you know, I want to give three examples in a row because this was a case of like, I really didn't feel like I was nitpicking. And again, these don't ruin the game for me, but they mm-hmm. disappoint me. And it was like, so I'm not desperate to find this, but it was just since these three missions came one after the other, and on every time I was thwarted in some way. So the first one, you're supposed to get a guy in a laundromat. He gets spooked. He goes out the back. So I failed the first time. I was like, all right, well, I'm going to go around the back. I'm going to shoot his vehicle tires out. That spooked him, so I couldn't do that. But then what I was able to do is quietly park in a whole shitload of cars and block his vehicle in back there.
That's a smart idea.
So I go around to chase him, and then I go get him, and as soon as we come out the back door, all that was undone. You know, it was just gone. And then likewise, when I go around the back to try to snipe his tires on his car, it says he's escaped out the front, but you go out the front, he's not really there. You can't beat the mission that way by chasing him out the front door. The next one, I'm chasing a guy, and he eventually goes to a construction site, right? He's climbing ladders, and you're supposed to chase him. So the whole time he's climbing, I'm shooting him, unloading clip after clip in him. I'd go up a ladder. Nothing's hurting this guy. And, of course, you can't kill him because what the game wants you to do is see that he falls over the ledge and his panic and fear running from you, and then you stomp on his hand so he falls. It's like, that was anticlimactic. I already hit this guy four clips.
Or you can save him. So it was building
to that point.
But your point is the same.
Although
they needed you to have that scene.
I might have done that differently because I think I just shot that guy in the head and he fell off.
You can't kill him until you get to the
point. Yeah, because they want you to make that choice.
Where you have the choice.
Oh, maybe it's further down. How many hours is it?
This is very early.
It's pretty early.
I never made that choice, I don't think.
I didn't even know it was there. That's why I said I stomped his hand, because I was just mashing the button at that point because I was mad. I was like,
did you not get a cutscene?
I decided to kill this guy
I didn't get a cutscene.
The game makes a point of saying, like, now you have a choice, player. It's blue or red. Choose blue or red.
Really? No, I just killed that guy, like, straight out, I'm pretty sure.
Well, maybe this does say that there's another way, then. So.
Yeah.
Anyway,
But not along the line.
There,
you can't kill
really
him during the chase, though.
Yeah.
And then the third one is, like, you're going to kill this... the guy who's dating the character Faustian's daughter.
Yeah.
And he's on his bike, and it takes the opportunity to explain to you that you can fire your gun on the bike. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, okay, great. Let's shoot this guy. Mm-hmm. Again, you fire that guy. You can ram him off his bike, but he'll just get back on. You can't kill him until, again, it gets to the cutscene that it wants you to see where he meets up with his other biker gang and you fight them in a park. So the whole time, you can just hit him over and over again, shoot his tires and everything. You can't hurt him. So it's like, when you're going to go and have these, you know, I mean, go ahead and respond, Robert. I'll give you an example of what I'm responding to.
I've found like a lot of inconsistency in what you can and can't do in the game, because you were talking about, you know, your idea of like parking cars to stop that guy from leaving the laundromat. I've also done that, and I've had it work half the time and not work half the time. There's a really difficult mission with the Dwayne character about 20% or 25% into the game that where you have to go take back a strip club for him, and it's like these three strip club managers in there, and it's pretty. I had a hard time with it because there's not a lot of places for cover, and one guy darts out really early on, and you got to go like run him down, and usually the police show up, so it's like a total clusterfuck. Well, I decided to park a car against the back door so that you can't leave. The first time I tried it, the car disappeared.
Yeah.
The second time I tried it, I used two cars and they stayed.
Like, weird.
Yeah,
that's
weird. And so he couldn't leave, and he had to go out the front door, and I could kill him.
My guess was that it's a technical limitation that specifically prevents that kind of scenario most cases, because it's like the game doesn't remember. I mean, if you remember previous GTAs, sometimes when you turn around behind you, the world had been reset.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, so like when you go and view the cutscene, it's like it reloads that or something. It resets it to this, like,
yeah, that's what
it's
I like assume. Default state, you know. Yeah, script was taken over at that point. Which is why things like the cars disappearing, that it's just starting that mission at a specific zero state.
So those things aren't bad, right? I mean,
no, they're not bad.
I'm not like,
no, but they're a different kind of game than one being described.
Exactly, and that's my point. And then it's like, if you think, then what's going to happen? Just year after year, then they'll get to the point where those things are addressed, and it's like you're just going to keep writing about how it's. But you already said that it let you do everything you could have ever imagined yourself ever doing.
Right,
you know?
Right. I think that's what we're all objecting to here. Mm-hmm. It's like this game does not do everything. It is not perfect. There's holes left and right. That doesn't mean it's not an amazing achievement. I think it is. I think some of the writing is fantastic. I mean, like I said, some of the characterization is great. Definitely, of all the GTAs, and I've played them all since 2? I don't know what's
the top-down.
I didn't play. Wait, what was the first non-top-down one?
Three.
Okay, so that's what I played, that and Vice City and
San Andreas.
Yeah, and I think this is the first one where the story itself has kept me going. Like, I really want to see what happens to Nico, and I think the voice acting of that guy and some of the others are great.
I had like there's this other sideline discussion. It's about how like, well, this one's so much different because the story's so different, the character's so different, and I kind of want to know where you guys stand on it. For me, the character is like really fits in. He fits in the theme that has been true for all of the previous characters. I mean, he's like an outsider in some way, shape, or form. You know, if you look at the other guys, I mean, ethnicity is often played a part in that. I mean, occupies more or less the same position in American society mm-hmm. and moves through it in exactly the same ways. He's just like two-dimensionally concerned with this like loyalty-based ethics and all these things like that. I mean,
rags to riches.
Right, yep. Yeah. I mean, yep. And yep. So he's been very similar for me. The problem I've had, this is like I had this change in my take on the game. At first when I was playing it, it was like I was really feeling the character. I was like, okay, I can feel this guy. And it kind of made me not want to just randomly, like, don't just wantonly drive through crowds on the sidewalk and stuff, because it seemed out of character. This mm-hmm. guy's, like, willing to murder, but he's not a sociopath. So I wouldn't do that, and I was, like, talking about how the consequence, you know, on One Up Ears, I was talking about how the consequence for me is that the game, when you play it in the way that a lot of people cite liking to play these games, just randomly going around and shooting stuff and blowing stuff up, it's not as fun to me, in part because of that, because it seems... As soon as I do that act at that time, it was like I've crossed the line, and now I'm playing like another game, a mini game, or another mode or something. And
right, and at the beginning of the game, it breaks character.
Yeah,
very much, I thought.
And then games like Crackdown and stuff, since they've done that better. Just the randomly running around and causing mayhem and stuff, since they've done that better, that was less fun to me. But then as I kept playing, now I've done a number of missions, and I started seeing just these pretty gross inconsistencies in the character's ethics, and then just his just willingness to just do anything without any questions or whatever. I mean, and even though, like, there's always loyalty as playing as the justification, the way that it's shifting between, like, what is he loyal to? It was just so paper thin, and I was like, this guy is a sociopath now. And then after that, like, snapped. It was weird. Now I just casually, if I'm driving to pick up a date, I'll just drive through, like, 20 people on the curb and then, you know, take the date to dinner and shoot everyone in the restaurant and get back out. And it's like, now it's like, it just seems fine. Right. There's this guy, there's nothing to him. He's just a sociopath.
Well, and then date will still say, like, are you involved in crime?
Yeah. I love when she asks that. Yeah, she's you know, asking that whole thing about, like, my contacts and stuff. Yeah. And I was like, well, we just ran over that old lady.
Well, I think that's actually, to me, the most interesting thing about the game. And the thing that I haven't really seen many people discuss is that I really feel like this particular game pushes the conflict between story and open choice in games mm-hmm. more than anything I've ever seen. It's like it is so schizophrenic and so fighting itself all the time. There's definitely like... There's a boundary that is not technical in these kinds of games. It's an artistic one where people can't figure out how they're going to make players be able to do whatever they want in the world but still have them play a believable character that you care about. And in those missions with Michelle, not missions, dates,
right.
where you're hanging out with her and you're getting to know her and you're telling her all these things about yourself. I specifically remember the first time I accidentally, lost my car and I had to steal a car.
Yep.
And she's like having this really intense conversation with me about things and I'm carjacking somebody.
Right.
And I'm on the thing and she's not noticing and
disconnect.
It really like broke...
Same for me,
you know, and but I mean, like I said, it's not. I don't know how you do it better. It's like it's a serious game design problem, like that people are going to face for a long time, like figuring out how you have any sort of choice in a world that is so specific.
It might be a problem of just like how much time do you have to implement all the many many possibilities when you really want to have this open
sure
world.
Enough.
Like they could have had Michelle. You know, freak out and never want to date you again. And that, to me, is one option that might have been on the table, but probably tossed aside for time or something.
The cost effectiveness, you're eating up bandwidth, so to speak, for every contingency that you anticipate.
Yeah.
You know, so you're like, okay, we're going to have record extra dialogue for when the player does this. We're going to have to put something into the system that can account for this action. And then you say, well, if we did it for this action, then you get to that thing with, like, visual fidelity and physics fidelity, right, where you have an indestructible environment. And if you have, like, 20 things just blow up real nice, then it's like 21st thing that doesn't blow up that's going to stand out. So it's like then you get in this trap where it's like, well, we did this and this. There's always going to be something you can't account for, and they just have to, like right now, limitations both for like programming, just for memory, but also for budget. I mean
I think this game
fits in the like uncanny valley of gameplay in a way, just because like the closer it gets to reality, the more you notice the breaking of it. Mm-hmm. So it just
I also think they go for like a more traditional, like huge long storyline, you know, like a 40-hour, however long it is, storyline where you meet a lot of people and a lot of things happen. They've done a lot in the game to make the visual fidelity come across and be really realistic, but I feel like in choosing to make this really long story that they watered down what could have been cooler. Like, I would rather play a game that the story part of it, like, why not? Grand Theft Auto, story part of it, 6 hours long, but a million different possibilities. Yeah. You know, like, if you fuck with Michelle, it's over, you know?
Right. They clearly seemed, you know, their agenda this time seemed to be they wanted to tell this epic story.
Did you ever play Way
really
of the Samurai?
Really does fight with the...
What was that?
Did you ever play Way of the Samurai?
No, no.
That was, I love Way of the Samurai
a game,
so much.
It was 2 hours in length exactly, but like it did have all of that kind of stuff simulated, or at least to a greater degree than like Grand Theft Auto could. Like you could totally, depending on how you interact with almost every character that was, you know, part of the plot, it would have a completely different outcome. But it was only 2 hours. It was this really compact, like short story that you kind of played over and over again.
Yeah.
So it's doable. It's just a matter of production costs, like we were talking about. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I would love to play something like that, like a Rashomon video game where you just get a bunch of different outcomes.
That's where
and
Way of the Samurai
things.
Was.
Yeah.
Just pulling it from.
Yeah, I mean, and Grand Theft Auto would be so cool for that because you have this huge city to fall back on. It's not like you would have to just do that same thing all the time. It wouldn't be so repetitive. Mm-hmm.
I'd probably finish it, too, because now when I hear these, you know, estimates of 100 hours, I know there's no way I'm going to finish this game. It's just not going to hold my interest that long.
Well, I think, too, that, you know, that the openness, that in limiting it, like, I think that they, like, that's where I think you're getting some player disappointment too, or some of the early backlash to the reviews, which I totally agree were over the top. But you know, you go into GTA 4 in the first few hours, it's really a funneled experience, like surprisingly so. You know, I think
surprisingly non-interactive.
Yeah,
it's cutscenes like with a radio play in the form of you driving to the next cutscene.
And there's kind of like nothing open yet. Like there's nothing to drive around to. I guess you can to look, but that you haven't opened up any stores or I don't know. I just remember in the other ones it felt like you had access to the world itself at an earlier point. Yeah. Here they're really just making you sit through the story for a long time.
Although it would be really hard to just wander around and have access because I feel like now that the world, the fidelity of the world is up, it's really hard to pick out where the points of interactivity are. It's like I remember the first time I was going around trying to fill my health by looking for a restaurant. I kept on getting out of the car and like trying, oh, there's a diner. Oh, wait,
oh, no,
that's
not really
real.
A diner. Yeah,
yeah, like there are only a few places that you can really... And I know that that's just you can't just like fill this world with real stores and stuff. That's outrageously expensive. But it's just one of those things that they're obviously going to always be struggling with.
Well, that's the challenge that the Sims 3 designers are dealing with now. You know, when Sean Malloy and I went to visit them, you know, that's the whole premise of Sims 3 is that the town is living at the same time that your Sim is living. And that when you walk outside of your house in the Sims, there's a world out there, just like in GTA. But here, all the characters in the game are really real and going through a life cycle, and the buildings are real too. And they had to face this idea of like, well, if you go downtown in Sims 3, are half the buildings just going to be like these fake storefronts, or are they all going to be places that you can go in and interact with? You know, and they're like trying to determine the size of the game based on that idea.
Yeah.
Because of the suspension of disbelief that it messes with.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just size alone obviously is like not a selling point. I mean, I think Bethesda seemed to have learned that a while ago because I remember Daggerfall boasted, you know, how many cities? Like thousands upon thousands of cities to visit.
And
they were
all
just
exactly
all randomly generated. Like every you could figure out what words they had. Two words. The first word of the bar and the second word of the bar, and they just shuffled them. So just like, oh, it's the golden monkey. And then like, somewhere else you might find, you know, the pestilent monkey. And somewhere else you might
and
find
the same it. Drunk and the same stool at the same in every bar.
Yeah.
It's so different than... I mean,
hello, traveler!
And, the problem with it, of course, was it was so not compelling. You didn't want to go to any of these 2,000 cities.
Right. Whereas every locale in GTA 4 is, you know, quantitatively different. It's like... Sorry, one of my headphones keeps going in and out the whole time we're taping. I think I'm still actually
it's, making. It's actually your hearing.
Yeah. but each bit of it's got like a different feel. It's got character to it. You don't feel like you're just going through like a reshuffling of the textures and assets and geometry that they've already produced. But all in all, the other part of my reaction to it is that I didn't have... When I'm reading these reviews and stuff, they're all saying, like, you know, 10, and if the scale went higher, we'd go higher. A, or in the case that we have A+, you know. And for me, I'm comparing it to the way I felt when I played Super Mario Galaxy, Resident Evil 4, and Bioshock, and Portal, and all these other games that, like, recently come out that I was really, really into, where the entire time I'm thinking, like, dude, I don't want to put this down. This is just so good. And I just don't get that feeling from it. Sometimes it comes close, but it's like consistently, it's definitely not that way for me. I mean, this is a subjective thing, but...
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I've played 25 hours in the last 7 days. I was pretty crazy about
it. That means you're strong, yeah.
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 But I didn't play last night. I turned it on, and I was like, I can't do this tonight. But yeah, I've been really into it, and I've enjoyed it on that level, I think. But... Yeah, I was just mainly looking for more interesting conversation about the game. Like, I was surprised, and maybe it reflects the way that people had to play the game to review it. I mean, were most people playing it in hotel rooms and stuff?
Yeah, yeah. The old Stockholm syndrome.
Right. Yeah.
And a lot of them are coming at it, too. I mean, especially for this is interesting because Yangai Kroll on his Level Up blog just put a story up kind of like asking the same thing. But he was calling the non-enthusiast reviewers to task for it. And that was an excellent entry. But for us, in the case of it, looking at the enthusiast press, there's just back to that old notion that, like, if you understand your job is telling people to buy something or not to buy it, you get this problem. Again, you know, I don't want to keep picking on this one. It's just the one that we have here. But it's like if it starts off and it's saying, you know, go buy this game. I mean, it's the subhead. And, you know, and whoever's that other review. You need to go buy it right away. Trust us. You won't be disappointed, or you've already pre-ordered it. That kind of thing. It's like, well, I mean... Well,
okay,
if your magazine, if your point is to direct people to buy it or not, and you're already acknowledging that everyone knew to buy it in the first place, well, then why do you have a review if you're not going to do something else? If you're not going to engage in some real...
Right. I mean, this goes back to, why people read reviews fundamentally. Like,
exactly.
You know, I often won't read reviews until I've played... Mostly this is with movies and stuff, though. Like, till I've seen a movie, then I might go back and see what the conversation... That, and just kind of have, you know, the mental conversation with the critics over something I already experienced myself.
Yeah.
Right. And most decent reviewers aren't just going to say, you know, go see this movie.
Right. Exactly. You know? And if I did, I would never read it again because they're like, well, I saw it. So what insight do you have into what I saw?
I wonder if people aren't, you know, also buckling under the task of having to review a game in the way that... That the hardcore gamers and enthusiasts expect to have a game review for Grand Theft Auto. You know, they want to know about every facet of the game and how it works. Like, they want you to, like, explain the game of baseball to them before you tell them how the game went down. And, like, that can be really a hindrance to having any sort of real interesting, like, conversation in a review if you've got to go through and be, you know, like, well, the shooting mechanic's better, but it's not as good.
Right.
Frame rates.
And it just...
If you had to have, like, a genealogical tree, if you're going to talk about, like, Anacaranina or something before you even began your review, you know, and you had to go through the entire... I mean, so that's a burden. In the case of enthusiast press, though, I really don't think you need to do that. People don't need to know. They now your audience knows pretty well how these games function, and you can talk about the differences if that's what you're about. But, like, to the point, they still, nonetheless, you'll see just paragraphs and paragraphs devoted to what specifically happens when you press each button. And all this information, of course, is available on the press release sites for these games. I mean, if you really want to know, you know, like, what happens when you hit the left bumper, then, I mean, that information's available and stuff. And I think there's a few things. I mean, for one, it's challenging. You know, it's a lot harder to write a real, you know, a substantial critique, evaluation of something, and with some, you know, working out a thesis and ideas that you want, a string of ideas that you want to develop as you go through, and running that idea track parallel to discussion of elements in the game and having it all just sync up and going somewhere with it. That takes a lot more work than just, like, if you got a looming deadline and you're looking for every available shortcut known to people that are employed this way.
And, and maybe not everybody, or maybe not the site you work for or whoever wants that kind of review.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and meanwhile, the audience really is just –
wanting to click on whatever the earliest review is.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. And then talk about it online, because really everything online is just
look at the
for
score.
Discussion.
Yeah, I mean, you could write a very thoughtful analysis that discusses, you know, what are the implications of the fact that they wrote this story this way or that they had a conflict between their story and the open-ended world. You could discuss these issues, and then you could just, you know, get feedback that's like what's this fucking wank off? Just tell me if you liked it or not. I don't even understand those words.
And, you know? And in addition to that, I mean, even if you did basic Word, I mean, even if it was as accessible as possible, right? You deliberately kept your diction at a third grade reading level, although your thought process was well beyond that. Mm-hmm. You know, you can work through high level collegiate thoughts and beyond with like any, you know, literacy level. If you really set about it, you're going to be limited, but you could do it. But aside from that, I think people just they look at reviewers for games and stuff as they kind of expect them to parrot what they want to hear. You know, it's like they want to read the review that they would have written, or that they probably could write, that they would write if they had access to the game. You know, we want the exact thing. I mean, you're just there to say what I hope you say, not to disagree with me or anything. And then, so that's like a weird thing. They challenge it. Then they get angry. The whole thing of like, oh, a critic disagrees with me. I mean, that's great. That's a point. That's an avenue for, you know, finding something else about your own, you know, expectations and your own, you know, assumptions, and then maybe learning to appreciate looking at things in another way. And instead, all that's just gone. And it's like, is every single thing this guy says what I would say?
Right. At least this one's cross-platform, so it removes that one thing from it. Therefore, we see once again that the 360 kicks the PS3's ass.
No, at least there's not this time.
Yeah. But I mean, that guy's just a fucking wanker for the 360.
It's also that, like, in the world of the hardcore gamer and game boners, that the review like becomes just another like, you know, position. It's like another thing in the porno that you're watching, getting ready for the game. You know, you get it's like doggy style. You're like, yeah, man, here it comes. Like, so
okay,
it's just,
now I'm sick
it's
of
like
this.
the last moment before you get to go out and buy the game and satiate yourself. You know, so it's like this climax thing.
Right.
And if you show up and you're like, it's not that good, then
right. Yeah, the old cold shower.
You know, yeah. So that's kind of a bummer. I don't know. You know, I don't know what the audience for like just talking about games, like because you're interested in games and not really like trying to stoke a game boner is, you know?
Maybe that's all we should be doing is stoking game boners.
It seems
maybe.
Like the real conversation always comes out since
2003.
I mean, I've noticed this phenomenon, like, it seems like the, you know, the real conversations always come out, like, in the weeks after.
Yeah.
I've noticed even on game rankings, like, if you take a random game and, like, look at its score or whatever when the like on launch day, and then go back in a couple weeks and see where it is after a few more, like, post-release reviews came out. It generally doesn't go up.
What's weird, though, is that, like, people burn out on this stuff so fast, so, like, I totally agree with you. And I think that we'll have even more interesting GTA discussions in a couple more weeks from now. But by then, the message boards will be full of, like, again, they're talking about it?
Right.
Fuck. Yep. They're going to be doing about it with this podcast.
They will,
I guarantee it.
Well, you're just, I mean, it's...
Yeah, not even a week after.
But, I mean, I can understand that, though, because you just get so tired of it after a while. I mean, like, I haven't even been looking at message boards because I'm sick of looking at, like, threads about GTA.
Are you sick of us talking about it?
No, then? I like to talk about it with you guys, but I can understand where people could get sick of it. Like, I'm usually like a looking at NeoGAF, you know, every hour kind of person, and I really haven't even opened it in like the past 4 days. So.
Yeah, I've been the same. Yeah, it's been a while since I've really been active on any game forums.
Yeah, I mean, because that's all that's going on.
Yeah, it has dominated. Yeah. Yeah.
So I can totally understand why people feel that way. It's just a consequence of this, like, mega hype event thing, you know?
But I mean, it's not just games that suffer from this. It's everything these days.
Sure, But, yeah, I mean, I think also games are just so big and complicated that it takes a while for people to really see what they think about it and to be able to talk about it. And early on with the early reviews, it's not like the audience can participate.
I think it's going to be interesting to see what is the legacy of this game down the line.
Yeah.
You know, are we going to think this was the greatest game ever in 6 months, or is it going to be like Halo 3 again, where it's like everybody splooged all over it, and then a few months later it's like, oh.
Yeah, it's definitely better than Halo 3.
Oh, yeah.
It's definitely better than Halo 3, yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, I think maybe it might be getting lost in this, but
yeah.
Some of us actually really like the game, despite what we're saying here.
Well, yeah,
yes.
No, that's
I'm gonna go
right.
And play it
completely.
For hours.
I'll play it again tonight too. Absolutely.
Yes.
Not that far yet, though.
I think it's great, and it's been a slow burn for me too. I started out interested but annoyed at some of the early mechanics, and then I got over that and actually got more into it.
Pie in the sky. Imagine in the game if there was some big secret where everyone was like, the spoiler wasn't like what the guy's nationality is, but it was like that maybe a third of the way through or halfway through, there's like a hurricane or a tsunami or something or an earthquake, and it radically changes the environment for some period in time, but not only just the physical environment, but the way that everyone's behaving in it and stuff. I mean, you have like riots, there's a blackout. I mean, people just go crazy. And some things like that would be cool. I mean, if there's like a period, like a week stretch in the game where you're going through on a boat down your streets and stuff, with a little outboard on the back.
No, I've been fantasizing.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
What, the Katrina game? Or?
Yeah, I mean, not Katrina, but I mean, any kind of thing.
The third phase
like,
is the aftermath. Yeah.
I mean, like something, when you look at a city, right, and you look at like the interesting things that happen to city outside, like natural disaster is about as intense as it gets, but it also brings out, it's always this crucible for all these things about, like sociology and mm-hmm. the way that humans interact with one another and stuff. So,
yeah. Mm-hmm. No, I've also been like sort of craving,
physically look cool.
craving something that would radically change the world once you get used to it. You're like, you've been here, you've seen it. I think it would be really powerful to see what you could do to change that huge place that you've gotten to know.
Surf right down your street in the tsunami, man.
Here comes the mist.
You can kind of get. I thought just having no cars around, even if it's some sort of really weird dream sequence that he has or something. Like just having no people on the street would be interesting.
What if it turned like the big twist was like in the 75% of the way through, then it becomes a fucking zombie game. There's like an outbreak.
Yeah, I was about to say, like, what if it went
that'd
all Cloverfield?
Awesome.
That's the kind of shit where you'd be like,
that would be awesome.
Wow,
that
dude. Like, this is suddenly a whole other game, you know? And it's like, it would, like, who would complain about that?
That'd be fun. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's still people to normal, uninfected people, but I mean, shit like that. I mean, mm-hmm. have so much fun.
From Dusk Till Dawn, the game.
Yeah.
There you go.
Whenever they get it figured out, that's why I think, like, open world games would be so killer online, like continually updated,
where
like,
they could fuck with the world.
Yeah, and like the story kind of unfolds, over time.
Downloadable content could do it in this case too. I mean, where you have like these like event packs. So instead of like getting the pack where it's like the clothing shop in Sims, it's like you have like the earthquake expansion.
Yeah,
and the zombie outbreak expansion because they put all this work into the city,
Yeah,
it's like you guys can take that idea from me. I know it means a lot of work and it's easy. Like as various developing guests have said on here, ideas are a dime a dozen and implementation is everything. But
well, dude, I mean, I'm like sure look at World of Warcraft because here's a game. It's an MMO. It's open world. It's really static. When they announced for Lich King that they're going to be taking this one city, which has been enclosed in this dome since the dawn of time, mm-hmm. and they're gonna like rip it out of the ground and make it hover over the ground and take the dome off so you can go in. Everyone just flipped out. They're just like, no shit.
Yeah,
I mean, it's on
so true.
Yeah, and just
that's
like one little
be,
change.
What if you were playing GTA though, and like that, and one of those events I was talking about happened? Mm-hmm. Wouldn't you be just like,
oh yeah? And then,
whoa, dude.
We were at Blizzard maybe a couple of visits ago where Chris mm-hmm. Metzen was saying like, how awesome would it be? And I don't know if we can even do this if like we just destroyed Stormwind, which is like one of the mm-hmm. central cities right now where everyone mm-hmm. congregates. What if we just like there's an invasion and the whole city was just leveled? Like,
yeah.
And I was like, that would be pretty freaking awesome as a player of this game to just have like your hub where it's like a safe ground where you're always hanging out just to be like totaled. It would just change things.
That's
it
great.
Mix it up.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was funny because he was talking about
and that's
it
just, wow.
wistfully. Like, like as a designer, as a creative person, he was thinking, and he created this world, right? So, and he's saying how fun it would be to destroy that city, and yet it was wistful because he kind of knew he couldn't, mm-hmm. right? That the player revolt would be too much,
Which is sad. Yeah, there are a lot
it,
of limitations.
Or would it? I don't know.
Or
maybe a technical limitation.
Like a game that wasn't, say, GTA couldn't take like this suggestion I have and do anything with it because the marketers would be like, well, are we going to market it as a zombie game or are we going to market it as, like, as a crime game?
Yeah.
No, in ideal world,
that sounds
about
funny, but that's seriously.
Nah,
I seriously
you could do it, no, with that, but if someone else did, someone's like, we're going to make make like a GTA type game, but then this big secret, and it's only like the second half of the game where there's this outbreak. They'd be like, no, we got to market it as this from the very beginning.
Right, and that's
got to
be
one or the other.
Like, you want to keep it a secret, and then like you're just told no,
that's
you cannot keep it a secret.
You don't tell the guys in marketing.
It's like you have
it's
to.
Like
it's
that,
like
you, the,
what are you
the
making?
Trailers.
Is there other game
that Douglas? And, has any of you guys read that? Has any of you guys have any of you guys read that Douglas Copeland book, J-Pod?
No,
it's
no,
it's about it's vaguely based on EA's studio in Vancouver, but it's about this sort of disgruntled group of game developers working on this ever changing, terribly corporate video game, It like starts out as a skateboarding game and ends up being like a World of Warcraft game. They just like take the skateboarding world and turn it into an RPG. But the guys,
wow!
The amazing thing is the guys in the studio who hate it so much, they decide they're going to spend all their time working on a secret game inside of it. And what it is they build a torture layer for Ronald McDonald. And Ronald McDonald is a character inside this torture layer, and you can unleash him, and he like comes out and just starts killing everyone in the world with like various implements.
Wow.
It's really
sounds like a must read.
No, it's great.
I'm not kidding. It
sounds like a fucking message board post.
Yeah, that sounds fantastic.
It's really entertaining. It's not his best book, but it's really entertaining, especially if you care about games. And it's a pretty good, I think, feel of what, you know, like corporate game developer studio feels like on the inside, at least from the moments I've spent getting game demos and hanging out.
Would be
people.
Great to have on here sometime, like some, like they could never do it because they get fired, but you just want like some people who work at game companies, or developers, whoever, who are like stuck with a product and project that they hate.
Right.
But are doing it anyway.
Like a coder, someone who you don't typically hear from either. Yeah. Someone that's like not, you know, that's largely invisible. Except, you know, one of the many names in the credits that scroll.
And they're sitting there every day at their computer going, this is a fucking piece of shit. I feel so bad for the people who spend $50 on this.
But, you know, that's actually a good segue.
I'll work on the bowling mini game anyway.
I feel like that's a good segue for another game that I've been playing, which is the new Mario Kart.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And something that I noticed about that game, though it's fun and it plays like Mario Kart and all that other shit, you know, I've played every Mario Kart game, period, for extended periods of time. But this particular version of it really comes across as so incredibly joyless. Huh. Like all the characters, you know, all the fun Nintendo characters and stuff, they're really like lifeless, and there's no whimsy to it. Like, you remember like playing the original Mario Kart, and it was a weird idea. They're like, we're gonna take Mario characters and put them in go-karts and they're gonna race. It had this like real light, whimsical sense of like, you know, fun and, you know, colorful fun. This is like, oh god,
trapped in this.
Oh god. Now they all here's another Mario Kart game. If I have to make another one of these games, I'm gonna fucking kill myself. You know, and like while you're playing it, you can practically hear the lives of the people making it being crushed. I swear you can't. Like the guy who's sitting around like having to come up with like the banana peel, like the banana peel character thing to throw out of the back. He's like, oh my god. There's just like there's this like cloud hanging over it that it's just
does
so
it manifest itself like in the characters themselves too?
Yeah, I mean the
like
character
Princess Peach has like road.
Yay.
Imagine like if you were it was coded entirely on the It's a Small World ride, but like just like running, like they just like pull the lever and he just runs the whole time and all the computers are in the cart.
But well, I think Melky shares your sentiment.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah.
I did not get necessarily that sense. There's definitely like they're in traps. Like they keep doing the same thing. You know exactly what's coming. Okay, here's the Rainbow Road, here's Bowser's Castle, and I know that in Bowser's Castle Bowser's going to shoot a fireball in my head. No, there it is.
It feels really creatively tethered.
Right.
Like they've been given real boundaries.
It's like they've figured out what makes it successful, so they just got to like repeat it and not change it too much
and just not have very much fun with it.
Yeah.
At all. I mean,
it's such a weird schizophrenic face for Nintendo too, but the company that very often will really innovate and introduce some new mechanism or like a game that really, you know, is genuinely new, and then the company that all they ever do, you know, generation of hardware after generation, is remake the same
Mario
four
Party
games
nine.
Over and over, the same like six games again and again.
Yeah,
and again.
It's very true. Yeah.
Did you hear me say nine?
Right. I mean, clearly nine. The Wii, the Wii was.
I heard you.
The Wii, I mean, the Wii was a revolution, right? But then game-wise,
it does.
It was. Come on. I mean, it was.
The revolution will be nothing short of a revolution.
I think you can call it that fairly in terms of this console, especially in terms of what it did to the other two. But but the games certainly haven't come through. Of course, we just gave Boom Blocks an A+.
I must pick up a copy of Boom Blocks.
Really? And exactly gave it an A+.
Now, I think.
Oh, let's hear.
We haven't talked about one PC game yet,
but Ryan
I'm
is
saying.
Whatever. Ryan's been playing Mario Kart as well.
Yeah,
I'm gonna force you to do it, man. You clam up every time I'm on the podcast, but you got that huge fucking rant you gave me right in my own.
You know what it is? He's stewing in anger. He told me earlier I was over at his desk. He really cannot stand the sound of your voice, and when he's Kane. But he really can't stand the sound of your voice, and when he comes on here and you're on here, he just...
You're doing it, too. You're putting words in his mouth, man.
We should have it out.
We all do.
Right now. Ryan?
There is no Ryan. We should announce that.
That's our special announcement.
You're just sitting here thinking about your spreadsheet right now, aren't you? You're, like, ticking off all the things you got to do when you get back to your desk. He was showing me his elaborately color-coded spreadsheet.
Ryan has the most amazing spreadsheet.
I think you need to get out of my head, Robert Ashley.
I know everything about you.
What do you feel
and
about...
And you're dressed alike today.
Tell me everything.
Yeah,
everything.
We're dressed canvas shoes, too. Ryan and I are both wearing green button-up shirts and canvas shoes. Mm-hmm. We could be in a double mint gum commercial.
Yeah. Okay, so let's hear your Mario Kart.
All right, so I have been playing a bunch of Mario Kart. And this game, it's, you know, I'm having fun with it more than I did with the GameCube game. I thought the GameCube one kind of sucked. But this game, more than any other Mario Kart, even like the totally insane Mario Kart 64, is subject to what I have come to call in recent days Nintendo fairness. And what that means is, you know, you'll be, you know, you're good at the game, whatever, you get into first place.
He's talking about the blue shell.
I'm not just talking about the blue shell. Even in, like, the lowest, like, you know, 50cc, like, Mushroom Cup, like, the beginner races that you're like, oh, I can do this with my eyes closed. You're, like, under constant siege in this game. Like, it's like I just got hit by a blue shell, and I just got hit by two red shells, and I just got hit by a POW block and a lightning bolt and an ink blot all within the same 15-second time span.
This one I've noticed it especially, like, when it rains, it pours.
What?
It's one of those things where you form in your head, you're like, I swear the AI is ganging up on me. I know they're doing this
and
all
then it'll
the
hit
time.
You all this stuff and knock you back to last place, but it's like, well, next item I hit's going to be a golden mushroom, and I'll be back up to first place
or the bullet,
seconds.
Right.
It's Mario Party on wheels, man.
That's
actually,
what it is.
I'm thinking,
sounds horrible.
Maybe Mario Kart really has something to say. Maybe Mario Kart is the gaming manifestation of the tyranny of progressive taxation. You're being punished because you're such a good racer. You're ahead. You're number one. Uh-huh. And here come all these terrible, slow racers with their blue shells and their red shells trying to steal your rightful place
so
at the head
like the
of the
working
line.
Class,
yeah,
right? In the middle class.
Maybe that's what this is
Jeremy
all about.
Parrish compared it to communism. So
really,
it's pretty accurate.
Oh wow! So you're not even the first to make
there
that.
There you go.
Right. It enforces both equality of opportunity and equality of outcome as well.
Okay.
So if you believe in America and you believe in capitalism, you won't play fucking.
Get
Mario
this
Kart.
Insidious game out of your house right now.
Yeah. All right. But the thing is, so That's you know, bad enough.
There's an option to turn all the items off, by the way.
Yeah,
should we pretend like we love it so we get you angry?
What's that?
In multiplayer, there is.
Oh, you're talking about single player?
I'm talking about single player. Okay. And the thing, and the other thing, which Nintendo is notorious for, is locking like half the game behind ridiculous
unlocks.
Ridiculous
unlocks.
Conditions.
Yeah, it's unlocks.
Right?
Things, yeah.
And it's, you know, when, you know, a bunch of the characters and vehicles and stuff, you have to get a star rank in like the respective circuit to unlock whatever it is you're trying to unlock. And to do that, you have to get first place in every race in the circuit, and you have to do well on a per lap basis. So, you know,
both? When I'm,
yes.
Yeah, because you're
per
ranked.
Lap
you can
and
get
per
a
race,
B but still win.
Right. And so, like, doing that and getting, like, whatever character is unlocked by doing 150cc special cup, like, you're throwing a dart at a board. It's stupid.
But they got you by the balls because it's like none of us care. We were like, when you said you're playing single player, We're like, who the fuck's doing that? You really want to unlock Princess Daisy's Daisy Mobile?
This is the problem. This is
but
the
you,
problem.
You can't help yourself.
But what about
you
tracks?
Have to do
what
it.
About tracks?
This is the
and
problem.
Stuff.
Is they like they do this with fundamentally multiplayer games. Like there is just the only reason you're playing the single player version of Mario Party, which is like hell to play
it's
single
to
player Mario
stuff.
Party, is to unlock stuff for the multiplayer. Yeah. Like all you want to do with this game is like four people are over, let's play Mario Party.
It's Super
but
Smash
first, you
Brothers.
Have to spend 12 hours like. Dealing with its nonsense.
And Super Smash Brothers was the same way, too.
We need right. to like,
you love that game.
I love Super Smash
so what's,
Brothers.
So what's why? What?
I love Super Smash. Super Smash Brothers is awesome.
Yeah.
But why? Like, tell us why you got to unlock this shit. Let's get to the heart of that.
Well,
what's
but
this
they
fucking
do, they
pathology?
Do lock away, they do lock away like the tracks and stuff. Like, I don't have all the tracks unlocked. I think
like,
that's really annoying.
Things that are fundamental to gameplay... Like don't lock those.
Yes.
Lock like Soul Calibur is another bad one. They'll lock like half the characters away. Like lock extra outfits and like the stupid extra weapons I'm not going to use. That's fine, but don't lock the stuff that
or
actually
even,
matters.
Even like
to
one
me.
Hidden character.
Even unlocking fine. It just purely through multiplayer play. You know, I don't know, but again, yeah,
like when
I
start playing,
unlocking in general is stupid. It's weak. Yeah, like when you every time I like I want to play Cervantes, you got to go do the horse shit, and it's like he's been in it every time. He's a lot of people's main character.
Right.
Why are we going through this?
I think they just really imagine that the audience for the game is this, like, you know, obsessive compulsive Asperger's otaku nerd who's going to sit there and be like, oh my God, I got to unlock Princess Daisy.
Well,
you know,
they right do. Next to
and they post about it. Anticipation thread. Do you think the Koopa kids are going to have a cart in this one? I mean, I've seen that's like
yeah,
a real.
I, know. I was sitting there unlocking
Koopa
shit
kids.
Too. So
what's that shit?
I'm there, Ryan. I'm there next to Ryan.
Yeah.
Well, like I've already given up on Mario Kart, but like when I'm playing a game, it's like I know there's like some huge like important thing like important to the gameplay to unlock a character or whatever to what I'm doing. Like I ceased to play the game for fun and now it's suddenly like a job, like I'm unlocking this thing.
How do you
like
feel how do you feel about doing that in Team Fortress 2, which I know you've been doing farming with groups of people?
I hate it. I don't like that. I think that in Team Fortress 2...
But you weren't playing the game until this group of achievements to farm was launched.
I was taking
a
break.
You opted in, dude. Yeah.
And you precisely begin playing again when they introduce something that you hate doing, that you allegedly hate doing.
This is something I'm going to hate, but I got to get all of it.
And that's my point. I'm betting
gotta catch them all,
that
dude.
Once you do have all the unlockable items
I
for the medic,
catch them all.
And you already have them, that you're going to stop playing then.
No. I will after a certain... I mean, I take breaks every now and then, but I always
until the next bullshit
it.
Comes out for you to unlock, dude.
No.
Team Fortress I'm not team, trying to be a dick. I honestly think this. I think deep down inside, you probably know there's some truth to what I'm saying.
Okay, but it's true that some gamers just have this thing, like, mechanism, like the gotta catch them all thing.
Right.
Like,
collecting
with Team Fortress 2.
And that's what
it's World of Warcraft personified.
Yeah.
With Team Fortress 2, I know I'm never going to be able to reasonably get these unless I do it right now when it's new, when everybody's farming these things. Because it's going to be a chore to get that group of people that you need.
Why not just play?
But that's when, like, a couple months later, they get rid of the requirements or something. And just, yeah, now you can just have them.
why not just play it as the game was intended to be played, though? I mean, do you think you because you really want those weapons?
Because most of those things are not accomplishable by the average person in normal play.
That was a mistake, I think. Yeah. I mean, do you agree?
I do. I think they should have just given everybody the weapons. Like, they shouldn't have made the weapons unlocked. Just, here are the weapons, and here are these achievements for the people who want to get achievements, because there are people who are going to just get the achievements just to do...
So what,
to get
what are examples, because I haven't followed this, like, what are examples of the kind of things you've had to do? To get these weapons.
Oh, God. There's, they're all, you know, this new medic achievement pack. There are 39 achievements.
Uh-huh.
There's three new weapons, and you get, they unlock, at intervals, you know, one-third achievements. You get the first one and two-thirds. And some of them are reasonable, but some of them are like, you know, you have to get assist kills. You and a heavy have to get 20 kills where neither of you die. Like in a single life,
right?
And that's insane.
Or
like,
he's got to punch five people.
Oh
to death
yeah, you
have
to get assist kills on a heavy punching a bunch of people. There's one that's like heal a total of 1 million health.
This has got to be like a psychological experiment on Valve's part. That's the only explanation for this.
Yeah.
Who's insane enough?
Let's see what happens.
Oh, there's one. This is a total bitch for the medic just because it's much harder comparatively for him to earn points just healing. But there's one where it's like And this is one of the ones I'm having problems with. I only need three more achievements. This is one of them. You have to not kill anybody, but you have to get the most points. You have to get the high score on your team, on a team of six or more, like without killing anybody. And that's, like, I don't know how you would do that, like, in a real normal right. game as a medic.
Some people, it's surprising that they've, they almost like the metagame that this has created more than the game itself. Maybe people that aren't very good, or they just, what they like is the, they probably feel like they've never cooperated so closely with people and the history
of playing
the game.
There's a little bit of that to it.
And because they go into, like,
it's like a WoW group, sort of. Mm-hmm. Like, everybody's got to do their part.
Pull their weight.
But
yeah.
They all go into a server, and oftentimes with a map called Achievement Box or something created just for farming.
Right.
And they'll all go in there and agree that there's going to be a leader. He's telling everyone who they do, and then it's like
you putting on a play
turn.
Or something. It's yeah. like, okay.
No. Mr. Line.
The 1UP, there's a server called the 1UP Madhouse,
mm-hmm.
and they've been doing that.
Yeah, that's where I've been.
Well, my friend Matt went in there and got banned.
No, really?
Killing all you guys when you're doing that. But I was,
we're farming in here.
Yeah, I don't know. I think also sometimes people like structure in games more than not structure. Like having a goal, having a something to do besides, like, you know, win the game, kill the other side, you know, something really
sure.
specific. And I definitely can appreciate that in sort of open-ended games or multiplayer games that you play a ton.
I've been enjoying the
like GTA
Stunt
Motor Challenge
4 achievements have been that they're kind of, they feel like a little more like pie in the sky, like these in a way. Like if the achievements were easier, I probably would be distracted.
Like, isn't there one in GTA 4 that's like kill a Rockstar employee?
What?
Like in the game?
Did you hear the,
I don't know.
Speaking of GTA rumors, did you hear the one about how there's a website URL in the game's meta, you know, internet, and if you put it in, it's like a child porn
yeah.
site, and then the moment that you enter that, your wanted rating goes to 5 stars.
Yeah, and then I've heard that too. Yeah,
and then the cops all
I've
fucking
heard that
that's awesome.
And I haven't tried that out, but I believe it because when you go to the web, you know, the web stuff, there's some like cheesy, lame shit on there. I mean, it looks like it goes a couple layers deep if you keep clicking on URLs. So
yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if they did that.
Yeah,
but that would. I hope that's true because that's very funny.
Yeah, that'd be pretty cool.
But I guess my point was just that, like I'm somebody who I don't try to be an achievement whore, but if I see that they're there and they're not that hard, I will distract myself from the real game mm-hmm. a little bit.
That's especially generally in a game how
like,
I am too.
Especially in a game like GTA where it's easy to just say, okay, well, I failed this mission 3 times. I guess I'll go collect 40 packages because those are easy.
Right.
But in this one, the achievement seems sort of harder, so I'm not even tempted.
Yeah. Oh, like,
no,
like
I'm not going to win 50 races.
Like the pigeons or whatever, as soon as I found out I shot one and was like, okay, now find the other 207. I'm like, no,
yeah,
I'm never
exactly.
doing this.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I'm not even going to bother
okay,
shooting a
bring
pigeon
up
if I
GameFAQs.com.
Yeah.
Find the location of each
no,
pigeon.
No, thank you.
Yeah, I don't think so. Yeah.
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 I usually, the only time I've ever really gotten into achievements is for some reason when I get into a game that I develop like a trying to be really good at kind of relationship to the game.
Mm-hmm.
Like when N Plus for Xbox Live mm-hmm. came out, and I kept on trying to get the achievements for that game. That game makes me want to murder myself, but I played hours and hours.
Yeah, it's
and
the
hours.
Kind of games where like
though, right?
the objective is a high score.
Yeah,
where, like, achievement is just a high score basically in a different form. So.
Yeah, and I've unlocked several of those achievements and like felt a momentary, you know, moment of like bliss. Followed by pure embarrassment.
I fell into that same trap with the Pac-Man Championship Edition.
Uh-huh. I did that too. Same game.
God. Word is we need to get the is it Galaga Championship or Space Invaders like Deluxe or something.
I love Space Invaders. I really do.
The new one.
Space Invaders.
It looks
it's like a Pac-Man CE treatment
yeah.
too.
Oh, is that right?
I need to try that.
No, I don't need that.
You just stoked
it's
my
on the
game.
DS.
Xbox Live. You know, I tried to play on Xbox Live for GTA 4 and we got on there and it's like we being our usual like group of Ventrilo PC gamers and it was like we're all bitching the second we're on and we hear our voices in there and they all sound like you know, complete crap. And then it's like, we start a private chat channel, then someone sends you a voice message, and to listen to it, you got to jump out of the chat. And from that moment on, we were just like disposed to hate it. And then just bitching about every little thing. The fact that we can't even choose what team we're on when we're hosting a multiplayer game and that. And then some strangers popped in the server. And one of them starts singing. And then the next guy's like, dude, this is... No, it wasn't even that kind of voice. It was like, man, this is the raddest... This is the fucking most badass game I've been playing. And then Rory's like, welp, my name is Aborat. And then like we all fucking like logged out, and that was it. We went back to the PC.
Aww. You'll wait for it to come out on PC.
So I'll have to like convince myself to plug the Ethernet cable back into it to download Space Invaders. It was traumatic.
Oh, man. Sean is a true PC gamer, and he won't quit fidgeting with this fucking.
He's turning it into his own
playing
artwork.
With Kane all yeah, this whole show.
You're like meth tweaking over there.
Tweak. So,
give me a light bulb, and I'll turn it into a pop bong. A pop pipe for you.
Okay. So, Sean, do you have any more impressions of Conan you want to share? Because
I want to talk about a PC gamer.
Yeah, I'm thinking maybe it's time.
Conan.
No one else has played it, right?
I tried to, but I have this weird problem with it.
Conan.
So
your weird problem is that it doesn't run.
Well, it doesn't load. If you go to Task Manager, it's not. I'll log into the game with my name and password. It accepts it. There's a loading screen for a minute, and then just nothing. If you go to Task Manager, it shows that there's no game listed. But if you go to Processes in there, you see Age of Conan.exe running. So. I don't know what's going on. Right. Well, isn't that interesting?
Very.
Also in my task manager bar.
Yes.
Well, here's how much RAM iTunes is using? I'm sorry.
Task manager podcast.
I'm done.
There are some.
Really?
I'm sure there are.
Oh, fuck.
What's in your system tray today?
20 ways to tweak your system tray. Yeah. Okay.
So, here's what I'll say about Age of Conan. MMOs have this problem. And I think people, they haven't really, no one's figured out how to solve it. And BioWare has kind of said whatever their MMO is going to be, it might be Star Wars, it might not be Star Wars, who knows what it is. They're going to latch on to this thing that no one has been able to figure out, and that's story. So, you know, making this narrative feel like it's your own, even though the mechanics of MMOs make that almost impossible. Mm-hmm. Like, just because of the fact that you're running around with 2,000 other people on the same server, like there's just no way.
Jeff,
huh?
Eat your straw.
I'm listening.
There's just no way that you're gonna like make it personal, is the quote unquote. So Conan's solution to this, which is really kludgy, is that the first 20 levels of the game, more or less, you go like you pretty much spend the first 5 levels doing some newbie stuff. Then you come out into the world proper, and there are people running around doing your standard quests. You have quest givers who have an exclamation point. They're like, find me 30 pelts. And you're like, okay, I'll find 30 pelts for you. Another guy's like, oh, kill 20 crocodiles. And you're like, okay, whatever. So you go into the basement of a tavern, and there's a guy who can switch it to nighttime, and then all the other players go away, and you're in your own instance of the world with completely different quests, and it's like a linear story. So their solution to make MMOs personal was to have a button that doesn't turn that turns it into a single player game.
This sounds like Guild Wars.
How long does that go on for? Because this has been going on for I'm like level 15 now, and it's been going on for a while. And I haven't been compelled to switch the toggle switch back to MMO mode, which
could be single player Conan.
Yeah, it kind of directs you to. I mean, because the quests are. You know, it's kind of leading up into like how you get your spells and stuff. I mean,
yeah. What if you never did that part? What if you just did?
I don't know.
Would you be able to?
I'd have to re-roll and find out because I've been doing the nighttime stuff the whole time, and I think I'm at the end of it. But and it totally is just an MMO. I mean, here's the other thing: is MMOs at the first 20 levels, like World of Warcraft or most other ones, you don't really play with other people. At least I find I don't. I find that that's like the learning and leveling phase, and like walking into and meeting and seeing someone else like kill your boar. is more just like, oh, god damn him. He killed my boar. That was my boar. You don't like, you don't, there's no reason to interact with him anyway. And I think they just kind of are acknowledging that in this really kludgy, like, all right, let's just turn into a single player way for a while.
I have to have someone to play with, otherwise,
even at the beginning,
so fucking mind numbingly boring to hunt those pelts.
Yeah, well,
I wish there was an MMO that instead of using the game world, just use the internet. So when you have these random tasks, it would be more like, okay, log on to Second Life and buy a phallus.
And that like a scavenger
task complete. Uh-huh. You know, buy some really terrible CD on Amazon that they
you can make a game of it.
And you're like, living, just you're like living MMO right now.
You know, well, what's that game that I was playing a while ago? I already forget the name. I think it was like some of the Something Awful Goons might have had a hand in it. It's like the meta internet like RPG
Forum Wars.
Yeah, and it instead of going to the real Second Life or something, it's all based on it creates like mock instant messenger clients and email and websites, and it's just like just embedded with tons and tons of like crazy shit like that.
But yeah,
I think you might like it.
Yeah, no, but I would enjoy it if it were actually in the real world. Like you have to seek out some special YouTube video and make a comment.
Like, yeah. you troll this thread.
Yeah. there's probably someone out there who's doing that.
Yeah. Make that game because I'm lazy.
We can. So anyway, this, do it in our vent channel, we pretty much have like these spontaneous things where we have like a guy that basically plays DJ and plays YouTube, but then we'll come up with stuff like Troll Night. Mm-hmm. That's TrollNyght, and then we all just decide like, yeah, let's go to this thread and let's all take turns trolling it, and then let's go over to this forum and do it. And so it's kind of, you don't get a prize for it, but you can join in.
I can only do it if I get a prize.
I'll give you this cane statue.
I'm gonna need 50 or 100 gold pieces.
I think I'll need like
Sean can get you those.
Yeah,
and some shoulder pads.
So this is also the MMO that changes everything because you can attack in multiple directions.
It's true.
And what does that mean?
Okay, well, let me wrap up my other thought here. So yeah. When you are in the nighttime mode, the quests actually aren't the you know, fetch 30 of this or get 20 of that. It's more like a Witcher kind of thing where they're very distinct. Like, okay, now go to the top of this volcano and stop like the prostitute thing I was talking about before as part of the nighttime quest chain. So they're more
dirt blood.
It's more like a standard like Neverwinter Nights kind of experience, whatever. So you know everything is very linear and very scripted. And like, okay, now go find this one flower hidden here, and it's not killing 30 boars or anything. Mm-hmm. So that. And that's pretty much what it is. They just said, okay, we're taking our MMO mechanics and making The Witcher and Neverwinter Nights out of it for a little while. So, I don't know. I can't speak to the PvP or building your own cities or any of the stuff that the game really is once you get past this. But for the beginning, it's kind of it's a really bizarre solution. It's kind of like they gave up on the idea and just said, okay, we're going to try to hook you by giving you the game that's not really the game first. Mm-hmm. So anyway, so this revolutionary idea that you were talking about. Yeah, there's three buttons. Every character has, instead of just an auto attack button where, you know, most MMOs you're just targeting them and you go, you have three
whack-a-mole.
Buttons.
Whack-a-mole.
Whack-a-mole.
Yeah.
You have a left, a top, and a right. So character, like the NPCs will have these little shield icons either on the side or the top or the right of them.
Yeah.
And they'll switch them around like over time, so you just got to kind of be paying attention.
Right.
That's the revolution.
Every little bit helps, especially if you're a tank, you know, and all you're normally doing is just sitting there. Who's eating? It's gross ass mouth noises.
I'm chewing gum, out. Dude. I'm sorry.
It does make you, you know, it does force you to pay attention if you stop. If you don't press a button, like, you're just going to stand there and die, whereas in World of Warcraft...
That doesn't seem like a bad thing.
No,
I think
it's not.
What's funny is that, like, I keep hearing about it over and over again, and it's kind of a reminder of, like, how little innovation and change
yes.
there is in MMOs.
Yeah, if this is what's getting people excited,
like a big change. And,
they do combos, too, which is, you know, it's not something... Final Fantasy kind of has combos, too.
Mm-hmm. Combo!
Not a big deal for an MMO.
The PvP domains sound interesting to me in that they're like, you don't go into a designated PvP session. You can just gank someone at any point. So that means we can go in, get to like level 6, and then wait at the starting area and kill everyone that just joins the game after they make their account.
I think you have to be on a PvP server, though.
Yeah, on a PvP server.
Yeah. Okay, so and that's anywhere? I don't know. I haven't tried it.
Right.
Well, you could do that in WoW if you want to.
If you're on a PvP server. Even then, though...
You can try, anyway.
Even then, though, there's certain rules about the newbie zones and stuff.
Where are there? In WoW?
Yeah. Like, if it's a contested area versus, like, a safe zone.
I got into, if MMOs, if I had gotten into them when they first came out, you know, the Ultima Online era, like, they might have been one of my favorite genres.
Yeah, you
but
would
I just
have
missed, like...
You would have liked the Wild West.
You understand, like, now that, yeah, I mean, that of course, people don't want to pay a subscription fee when that kind of shit's happening to them. And it's
right.
Not funny. It's like me when I hear someone come in and make a Borat joke, you know? But, it's like, yeah, they're so... They just fostered creativity. There's just so many, like, ingenious,
right, but they had to put in the rules for people like you.
Or like Ryan. Don't even pass on me. Ryan's got plenty of war stories.
Yeah, no, you're right. Sure. No, I did it, too, in Ultima Online. I totally did.
What'd you do?
Well, they weren't that bad. The one that stands out that I always tell was when I walked into this one, like, little castle area where these dudes were all holding a guild meeting, you know, inside this castle, and they were talking all serious and shit, and
I've been in this place,
yeah, yes. And I just walked up and I sat down at the table. Some guy got up from his seat at the table, so I went there and I sat down, and they're all going like, who are you, like, leave. And I'm like, and I just was like, anybody see Alf last night? I was just like typing shit like that. And they were like, get the fuck out of here. Like, we're having a guild meeting. And I just was ignoring them. Like, man. And I was just like typing just stupid, like, jolly bullshit.
Hey, the game let me do this.
Right. And I broke up the meeting. They were all like, fuck this guy, let's leave. And they all, like, left the room. And I felt so victorious. It's like,
right. But you could do that now in anything, though. That's not like a exploitation of a rule set, though. It's still a rad story, but I'm just like...
No, I guess, yeah.
Couching the conversation.
No, you're right. It's not the same thing as, like, I sat at the newbie spawn point and ganked everybody.
We used to, like, in Ultima Online, we would go into a dungeon entrance and, like, lure a bunch of monsters toward the entrance.
Sure.
And then we would go outside and wait for somebody to come in and put, like, tables in front of the entrance so they couldn't get out, and the monsters would kill them.
The training in EverQuest was also another fun one.
Oh, God.
The EverQuest, it sounded, had a lot. Like, I was listening to the guys in the event thing talk about the shit that they do, and it sounded like EverQuest is pretty ripe for it, too. All those games where items have, like, a weight statistic, and so that you're able to actually throw. Somehow you're able to impose the objects on someone else, so then they suddenly can't move, or you trick them into picking up something, and it weighs, like, a million pounds.
And then
you just either
encumbrance.
Kill them, or, like, yeah. Or
yeah. Right, so they
do
can't
do all these
move.
Different
right.
things to them.
Yeah.
And exploiting things with, like, stealing people's houses and, like, locking yourself inside of them and then, like, logging off. Like, always logging off. They always involve logging off before you get caught. Like Ryan was saying that, like, sometimes people would have so much loot they couldn't physically carry it, so they'd have to drop it, move it, like, 2 feet, drop it again. But every time it's dropped, it's physically in the world, so Ryan would come out of the bushes and grab it and log off. Monster. Fucking EverQuest Cookie Monster.
No, it's sad because, like, MMOs these days are so safeguarded against, like, any sort of things that people get mad. They feel like they got to get mad about something. So,
right.
Like,
I remember
even if it's just like, I'm kill stealing, quote unquote, which is just the definition of kill stealing is in, like, Warcraft is you got to the monster first and the other person thought they should have.
Kill stealing is absolutely not the same as it used to be.
Right.
It really was.
There
like,
is no
stealing.
Kill stealing anymore. Yeah.
Wasn't that when, like, in EverQuest, a bunch of, like, 15 groups would sit around and wait for the boss to spawn?
You'd have that to. You would
thing?
Do camp checks back in the day. You would just go camp check, whatever, something, whatever, you know. Whatever, you know, Weeping Forest. I can't even remember any of the names now. And then, you know, so, and you would do that to see if somebody else was sitting there waiting for the monster.
Right. And there'd be a line, basically.
Yeah, you'd be waiting in line to kill
the
thing.
That's how instances were born.
Isn't this what guys like Raph Koster are always railing against? Just that, like, you take these games that have this enormous potential for, you know, just these interesting social outcomes, and you make them into these enforced utopias where everyone has, there's the rules are universal. Everyone can't help but abide by them because they have no choice.
Right. WoW is a totally enforced utopia.
And now
WoW is like Disneyland.
So and all you do is get the fucking wolf pelts. That's why I hate them. I think that's a good, like another way for me to understand, like, why this shit is so absolutely boring. I try to do it, and then I always hit this wall after a...
Well, you have to, you know, you're either opting into this sort of, the sort of... you know, that you're going to play under their rules and you're going to sort of get into this community spirit thing. But if you're looking for a Wild West thing, it absolutely does not exist in WoW. They killed it completely.
Yeah.
Can't be
and certainly when I think back in EverQuest, in retrospect, it does feel like what you're saying. Like I have so many memories of it, and I was a victim probably more than I was a grief.
But that would just teach you to do it on someone else.
But it was, but even just that, just like, you know, part of logging in every night was like, you know, there was like an element of danger there.
Yeah.
You know, is some guy going to fuck with me? You know, am I going to get, you know, is there going to be a train of like 80 ghouls coming at me? You know?
See, that sounds awesome.
Yeah,
in,
no.
In Phantasy Star Online, it was like there was no market or trading window or anything. So it was like if it was all the honor system. It was just like you're saying, Wild West. You're like, all right, I got this egg blaster. You got this item. We're going to both set him down. So you both set him down at 10 paces. And of course, and then you run at each other and you pick his up and you're like, fuck you. It's the single peseta or whatever it is. And he's like, oh, yeah, well, guess what I got? And it's like the same thing. And you're like, all right, let's do it again. You do it again and again. You do it like 6 times in a row and you're like, all right, obviously no trade's going to happen. Yeah. We don't trust each other.
See, that's not, doesn't sound fun to me.
But that's like, that was fun. It was like fun to think about. This is interesting. This is happening. This is like challenging me. Like I'm challenging my mind, and then I'm actively trying to do to trick this guy or to outsmart someone, mm-hmm. or to do something in the way that I interact with real people, but in a hostile way that I normally wouldn't in my day-to-day living, as opposed to like, how do I kill? How do I find the 49th boar or the 50th boar? And go, let's go to the FAC and see, oh, he's hiding in the dark woods. Like, that's...
But I think most people out there probably aren't getting into games so that they can, like, you know, escape into a world of victimization and
petty blackmail.
Chaotic outcomes. Right. Like, they're looking for chaotic a vacation outcomes. From that sort of
right.
thing.
Most
you know?
People yeah, actually exactly. like yeah. Disneyland. They wouldn't yeah, like Disneyland if there was actually nobody enforcing
if
anything.
If there's a chance that Space Mountain dropped you right in the pit of hell.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
People don't take vacations yeah. to, you know,
this thing
Detroit.
Hasn't been safety checked in 5 years, but good luck.
Yeah. And again, I have to reiterate, I think I've said this every time WoW comes up, but like, to me, the reason I keep playing is because of the 5-man instances and the raids, which are just on a completely different level than killing 40 boars.
Yeah. Well,
I'll
right.
say that over
right.
and over again. It's just, that's a whole other game to me.
Right. Then it's more like a strategy game.
Right. And then it's 40. Yeah. Then it's like, you know, a bunch of people you like, you know, coming up with strategies to like figure out this crazy weird mm-hmm. encounter that the designers have come up with. And that's it's like it's a puzzle game
right
on like a level you don't normally encounter puzzles, so that's when that. The game really is something, and it is a different thing. It's like nothing like the collecting wolf pelts part of it.
Yeah, it's high level raiding, man.
I mean, I'd love to have a game that didn't that
are you,
like,
are
just
you a
let
raid
you
hero?
Skip
have you ever referred to yourself as a raid hero?
A raid hero?
Yeah,
god no. I would love a game that let you just like skip straight to like the equivalent of level 60 or something in WoW just to get into that part of it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So
why has
what about
no one done that
a
yet?
Game that's just that part of it?
I would love that game. I don't know why no one's done that yet.
So do you have any gut feeling yet about Age of Conan?
Yeah, it's another MMO. Even though I haven't played the MMO part, like you could tell. I know my class is this it's a necromancer, which is, you know, kind of like a necromancer in any other game. It's like it can summon some golems and their pets, and you have some dots and you have some buffs. Yeah, I mean, if you played MMOs, you know how it works.
Were there even necromancers like in the Conan books? I don't even know.
What are some of the other like missions you have? Like, what's the dopiest like early level objective you'd have? I'm trying to remember dopiest one that they were telling me about last night.
Was it from the story part? Probably. Let's see.
Oh, no, it was from the multiplayer part.
Oh. Yeah, I haven't really done too many of those. I mean, I have a ton in my quest log, and they're like, you know, kill all you to this plant.
Yeah. I'll ruin the joke because it wasn't much of a joke anyway, but basically just do the Schwarzenegger accent and fill in the, like, I've come here to, like, X mission and hear the lamentations of your women. Like, the whole time you're playing,
right?
You got to do that for whatever your objective is, and sometimes it makes for some pretty good pairings.
Yeah, I cannot speak to the authenticity of... Conan's universe. Yeah. I have no idea what it was really like.
And how about the stability? Because I was hearing yesterday some folks talking about it being pretty unstable for something that's
it's
just
supposed
a
to
few
launch
weeks
in
away.
A few weeks. I've never had a crash.
That's like every MMO, though.
To me, I get frame rate issues and stuff, and I have a pretty good machine. It's hitching and stuff, but it hasn't crashed ever, which is something I can rarely say about an MMO in the beta. And, like,
yeah,
the server's
for
been
me
up,
either, because I
can't,
load
even run
it.
But, I mean, it is, you know, there are bugs. Like, yeah. You know, that when you do talk to a quest guy, sometimes it doesn't quite work right, or you know, it takes forever for the cutscene to load. And it does have little cutscenes with like interactive dialogue trees for most of the quests.
Oh, yeah.
And they talk. I don't know if that's good or
bad. Here's a dump. You're not Conan, right?
No, Conan is the king somewhere else, and he figures into the storyline.
I guess you can't all be Conan. That'd be dumb. World of Conan.
You're a slave. I don't know if you've lost your memory. Yeah, you have lost your memory. Of course you have.
Of course you have. Yeah.
If I made a story-oriented, massive multiplayer online RPG, I would make it so that I was the hero and everyone else just had to stand around and sell me stuff. That would be how I'd fix that.
You know, that's not, you mean the other players?
It would just be like, I'd be the character, and everyone else would play some menial role. You know, they would be like, oh, would you like to buy a broadsword?
So we'd be your NPCs, basically?
Yeah, that's how it should work.
Conan's winch. Any of you
it's
play,
like a Majesty. Did you ever play Majesty?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that game. That was fantastic.
Or like Dungeon Keeper, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Where you're the boss controlling all the little hero minions or...
I feel bad for Kane. Kane's head was just dangling on the phone.
I can't get him to talk anymore.
Anyone else play...
oh, really? He doesn't talk anymore?
Took the batteries out. But there's a third battery.
Oh.
Anyone else play Assassin's Creed PC?
No, we didn't get any copies here
for next week when I've played more, and hopefully someone else has played some.
I played the Xbox.
Oh, yeah, I went and bought it, surprisingly.
You bought it?
Yeah.
Well, you would have had to.
Yeah. Yeah, of course. We don't get copies.
Why, Jeff?
Soft games.
Yeah.
Moving on.
No, but it would be cool if I
could belabor the point again.
Another copy around here so we can.
Yeah, I don't see myself buying it.
Interesting game.
Based on what I've heard.
Yeah, I don't think so. I'm not.
Just to talk about it.
All right.
I've been playing Grim Fandango.
Let me borrow it.
Oh, yeah? God. Yeah. What a great game.
Oh, I love that game.
Yeah. Classic. I bought the discs from eBay. I've been enjoying it.
How much did you pay?
$10, I think.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
What inspired that?
Just a brilliant game.
Oh, I don't know. I was sort of interested in playing playing an adventure game, but not interested in playing something like super arcane, even though it's pretty arcane. I mean, I basically play it by having the game FAQ open at all times, and if I get frustrated for even like 5 minutes, sure. I go straight to it. Mm-hmm.
I think that's fair.
Yeah.
There were some tough puzzles in that game.
Yeah, there's some stuff that's outrageously ridiculous.
Yeah.
But like story-wise, I love the character a lot, and it's really funny, and like a kind of humor that is so like stylish and fun. It makes a lot of other stuff seem kind of soulless.
Yeah. Plus, the guy who does the voice for Manny Calavera is Betty's dad in Ugly Betty.
Really?
Yeah. So every time when I watch that show with my family. Every time he talks, I'm like, it's Manny Calavera.
Every time?
Every time.
Really annoying.
Every time.
Did Robert, did
yes,
you ever
Dad,
play
I know, Dad. It's
any
Manny
of the other
Calavera,
LucasArts
Dad.
Games?
I played Full Throttle a little bit when I was younger, but I really don't remember much about it. I wasn't really a PC gamer back then.
Why aren't these on Steam? Just LucasArts legal stuff?
I don't know.
Could maybe not.
Those
it
companies
might be
have
just...
all kind of abandoned those old...
Yeah, it might not be legal stuff so much as LucasArts wants to sit on it for their own.
And plus,
Steam
it's like
whatever,
just getting just compatibility with modern systems.
It's such a sad
potential of something that'll never happen.
It was such a sad loss. I mean, their priority. I mean, Star Wars. I mean, but they had such a gold mine of great games back then that were not Star Wars. You know, the Full Throttle, Sam and Max.
Maniac
Day of the
Mansion.
Tentacle, Maniac Mansion.
Stay's Narnia.
Hell,
and they just
Indiana
let that
Jones?
All go. They just petered away that.
Yeah, those Indiana Jones games were just as good as all their other ones.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's really, Grim Fandango is really, really, I think, imaginative. I remember the first time I, like, saw what do they call it, flowering or blooming? Like, that's how people get killed in the game, is because they're dead and they're in the underworld, they're skeletons walking around. When they... there's a way of killing people that involves them like sprouting into this like garden of flowers, and it's really cool looking, and also just kind of a strange,
a cool concept.
Yeah.
Kind of like Okami does the same thing.
Yeah, except it's the whole thing has that noir detective movie.
Right. He had. I remember when I interviewed him at the time, he had the screenplay
Tim Schafer.
Tim Schafer, thank you.
Jeez,
sorry. Right.
Grim Fandango himself.
Yeah. When I interviewed Manny Calavera in the underworld, Tim Schafer had the Chinatown screenplay on his desk. as kind of like reference and inspiration.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it definitely shows. I'm hoping that I will finish it and not just keep playing Grand Theft Auto for 25 hours a week.
Because
I'm about halfway through.
The stupid little pack-in that came with it. You know, remember that plastic Manny that you press the bottom and it would flop or whatever?
Uh-huh.
Still have that on a shelf.
Do you?
My favorite piece of crap that ever came with a game.
You like it more than this cane thing?
A little bit. Obviously, you wouldn't like it as much because that cane has provided you with almost 2 hours of entertainment here.
We should take a picture of this and put it on the podcast blog.
Yeah, go for it.
How red he is. He's like, he's got a cow,
it's very detailed.
Cow skin for a head.
You need to get some red in there. Get some blood.
I was wishing the whole time we were playing that I was strong enough to take that like resin cast and just snap it in half. I'd love to just get fucking violent with that.
you have a problem
Why?
With Chachi. He always breaks them on my
house.
Well, I already ripped the head off. That was about the limit of my strength. I mean, this is some pretty sturdy material.
If you go into my office, you look in that sand garden I got from some other game.
The EverQuest chick.
Yeah. Did I tear her apart?
Yeah. And in the sand garden, there's just like body parts in there now.
I think wasn't that Dana that did that?
Someone sent a Zen rock and sand garden where you're supposed to rake, you know, patterns that represent the cosmos like around the rocks and in the gravel, and it's just loaded with like just torn up pieces of EverQuest action figure like and other stuff.
There's also what we also did was we took the mirror that came from the last Grand Theft Auto game. San Andreas.
The Coke mirror.
And we took the sand
from
that.
That was Vice City, right? Was it Vice City? Yeah, because it was...
That had the mirror?
Yeah.
And we took the sand from that sand garden and we made lines and we put it out on my desk for a while.
I think it's so depressing when you open up one of those packages and it's got some little piece of, like, you know, plastic crap in there that is eventually going to have to, like, go in the trash because no one...
Eventually.
Even if you put it out...
Immediately, if not soon.
Even if you put it out on the street, like, nobody picks it up. Like, I do that in my neighborhood. I'll just, like, put stuff out on the street and I'll walk by a day later and be like,
That's what Darren was good for here. You could just give it to him.
You know what? Anthony, who will probably be on next week, we were driving around...
like that.
We were driving around at Berkeley, and all of a sudden, like, you know, it was his roommate in the car and me, and then, like, he'll just, like, periodically slam the brakes and pull over a little bit and just get out. And we're like, what the fuck's he doing? His room would be like, oh, he must have saw something on the side of the street. And then, like, he'll run and he gets some old, like, dish rack or something that was sitting on the curb and run up, throw it in the back seat with me. And then, like, next weekend, you know, you'll go out again and it's like, there it is in the back seat of his car still.
It's like being with Fred Sanford.
Yes, dude.
Just getting shit for the yard.
Fucking Fred Sanford, exactly.
Lamont!
Yeah.
Oh, are we nearing a wrap-up time there, Mr.
That's
Malloy?
Convenient.
We are. Yeah, we have another podcast to do, three of us here. We have to sit here for the Wild Podcast.
Did all you guys see Lost last week?
Yes.
Yeah, that was a...
Not good one.
Not a good one, I don't think.
I heard it was an episode for women who are inclined to come up with terms like Jate and... Being, you know, Jack and Kate and, that sort of thing. And
They're the new Nikki and Paolo to me. They just need to die.
Wow.
It was just a filler episode. I didn't really get anything.
Yeah, that was the thing. All we did was find out, like, what we knew was going to happen. That Jack was going to, you know, start going to seed and want to go back to the island. Right?
Right.
We knew that already.
We got to get back. Didn't the season start that way?
Yeah. That's how the last season ended.
Oh, yeah, that's how it ended. That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it felt pointless to me.
Filler episode.
And I totally don't know.
And it explained something that didn't need explaining, and then its explanation was just dull.
Right. Wait, Kate was in the shower, though.
His descent into madness began with, like, the most stupid, abrupt reason. He's like, oh, whatever. Okay.
I stumbled on an episode of Lost once on TV, and I watched it for like 10 minutes, and I swear to God, the entire time was just one long tracking shot of people not talking and like staring at things that I didn't understand.
Nice.
That could have been.
Yeah.
I think Hurley's in the coffin.
Hurley's in the coffin?
Hurley? Yeah. I think after that last episode, I think that's what it is. I think he's going to...
He's going to off himself.
The coffin didn't look that big.
That would have been a dead giveaway, though.
Well, what else would they do?
I don't know.
Chop him in half?
And why would they be like, well, I don't... Why would you want to go see Hurley? That doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who
why would they not want to go to Hurley's funeral?
What are the other theories? I haven't watched this last week's episode.
I think it's Vincent.
So.
Well, your theory is that they all played on the same McDonald's swing set together.
The dog? I thought that was the dog. You think it's the dog in the coffin?
Yes.
Why did we never go in? I still want to see how bad that game is.
The lost game?
No, I keep saying, maybe I should play that, but then I look at my stack of games that are actually good that I haven't played.
Yeah, exactly.
And haven't touched it.
I'll try it. Do you have it in Office?
Ubisoft.
No. That's why we never played it.
An awkward silence. We can go get it, though.
Yeah, we can buy it.
I don't know if it's worth the money, though. Do I really want to spend
probably
money
in the bargain bins now.
EB Games.
This week's episode is a lock episode. So that'll be.
Cool.
There's some guy in the trailer who's new.
That guy is not new. The guy who's like, I've been dead for 12 years.
Yeah, he's not
that's
new.
The dude. Remember the other janitor dude who brought Ben and his dad to the island?
Who doesn't remember him?
That's that dude.
Okay.
We need to consult Ryan's Lost spreadsheet.
Lostpedia. He is the Lostpedia.
He was in episode 3.2.
Yeah, that guy, he was in
20 minutes
I recognize
after
the actor because he was in X-Files.
Did you like this episode, Ryan?
I thought it was okay.
Could you not like an episode? I'm just asking.
Well, like,
would you be able to say this one sucked?
Oh, there's plenty of episodes.
Could you say that episode, the issue of the Green Lantern sucked?
I'm gonna have to think about that one.
Oh, come on!
Could
there were
you?
Whole years of Green Lantern sucking.
Yeah.
Watch what you say.
There were.
That's true.
That's back when I was reading it.
Then they brought back Hal Jordan.
Hal Jordan was dead.
And it's okay now.
I know, see?
Ryan likes Guy Gardner.
I do. Guy Gardner is awesome.
That's when I was reading it.
Tell me the story about him again. He's a football player from the future.
No, you're thinking of Booster Gold.
He came back into the past to fight crime.
No, that's Booster Gold. He came back to become famous.
I feel like some
Guy Gardner is just a jerk.
I feel like someone slipped something into my drink because everything right now is like psychedelically unattached to meaning.
That's that.
Whatever
like
you guys are talking about, I can't even concentrate
on what the hell's going on.
What's going on?
Look at my hand, Robert.
use this as your temporal anchor.
There's your constant.
Yeah. This is my God.
Oh, the head fell off. Needed to be on game video. Sorry, we all just reacted to something you'll...
We swear it was awesome.
There was a funny moment here.
That needed to be on game.
That was a moment we all had.
Like, who would click on that in game videos and be like,
Shame, dude.
We beheaded Kane again.
They'd make an animated, like, fucking avatar of Kane's head falling off.
I think this has gone off the rails.
It has.
Let's stop it.
We're going to stop.
Let's play with the EQ of our voices. That'll be fun.
Yeah, just start messing with
can
the dials.
Can we do one
we
last
out,
Kane? Robert. Kane laughs.
We lost the
we
battery.
We lost the battery.
And I was trying
really
to break
where
it.
Where is it?
One of the batteries.
It's
got
to be around
chaos.
This is now.
That's the
chaos.
Rule.
This is officially a train wreck.
We can't end this podcast until
okay, we're not ending it.
Until we can go out with Kane.
Fine, come on.
Okay,
fine,
we have
fine.
To go out with Kane, so we're going to stall till so then.
Maybe I'll stand up.
Maybe I'll sing.
It's a little watch battery.
This is the end of the podcast.
Is it underneath? No, that's a. Oh, come on.
This is ridiculous.
This sucks.
Even given our unprofessionalism. Right.
Kane laughs!
Yeah.
Wait, what was
okay. Jeff is not amused.
See you next week.
Yeah, we'll be back.
Wait, sometime. I think I found it.
No. Yeah. No.
All right, we're out. I dropped it in your drink, Jeff.
You dropped what in my drink?
The battery.
Let's go.
Okay, we're leaving. Goodbye.